Tonight we'll be looking at Scripture from Amos, which was referred to in the Scriptures this morning by the disciple James. And so if you have your Bible, or I think it is on your program there, we'll be looking at Amos 9, verses 11 and 12. And the heading of this section, which is the last five verses of Amos, is Israel will be restored. So if you have that, we'll read. It says, "In that day I will raise up the booth of David that has fallen and repair its breaches and raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Eden and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this." Pray with me if you would. Holy God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight reflecting on your word concerning Israel, your chosen people, which you protected and saved time after time. They had turned their backs on you and your law and your commandments. They had become selfish and immoral. Justice had become worthless to them as it related to your internal standards, Father. But could this be us? Reveal your word to us tonight as we reflect on your words for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There are three things I'd like for us to reflect on tonight. One is God's faithfulness to keep his word despite his people. The second is God's mercy toward unworthy people. And thirdly, we Gentiles are included in his promises. First, God's faithfulness to his word in spite of his people. You know, God had promised Abraham that he would bless him and his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. This blessing, or this blessed lineage, included David and eventually would include Jesus. The scripture reads that in the day, the booth of David will be restored. God is true to his word. God says that I loved I love the disciples, James stated in Acts 15:15, where he said, "And with this, the word of the prophets agree, just as it's written, from Genesis to Revelation, God's word is faithful. He does not contradict himself ever. The one who conquered death and the grave and who is now sitting at the right hand of the Father as intercessor for those who are called by his name, Jesus Christ, is waiting for the time when the Father says, go, get your bride and conquer, destroy Satan." Do these key words here resonate with you? Repair, raise up, and rebuild. For a deacon of building and grounds, it does, yeah. God is the true master builder. He is not replacing what he had already designed and started from the beginning, but rather continuing to make it better and better. As seen in Revelation, when John tried his best to describe the magnificent and grandeur of that future home that we have in heaven with God. His church has one foundation, and that is Jesus being the chief cornerstone. The second point, God's mercy toward unworthy people. My daughter-in-law and many of the Burns family love roller coasters. The higher, the faster, the more loops there are, the more they love it. And as I read the Bible, up and down, up and down, up and down. That's what God's people are as relationship with God. They come to repentance and draw closer to God only to fall away. The coaster starts out with a slow, steady ride up to the very top, the highest part. And once it gets up there, what a view we have, huh? You can see everything from up there. But slowly, it starts to move on a downward place, gradually, nothing significant, just gradually, a little bit at a time. And then all of a sudden, boom, out of control. Gravity takes hold, and we go. The Israelites did not lose control overnight. It was a gradual thing. It started small. Things like not communing with God, not reading Scripture, not praying, not assembling with other believers. They also had lack of humility, forgetting that God was had protected them and provided for them, had blessed them, not them themselves, and not separating themselves from the world. They began to be more worldly, accepting what the world gave them rather than what God had given them, and worshiping idols, worshiping the things that were created, not the Creator, and desiring self rather than God. They desired to strive for those things that pleased themselves rather than those things that pleased God. Do any of these things resonate with you tonight? Are we better than the Israelites? You know, Jesus raised the bar when he said, "Even if you think these things, you have sinned." And it only took one sin by Adam and Eve to remove them from the garden, from the presence of a holy God. This is the importance of a local church, where we can stand grounded in faith, strengthened and encouraged, and held accountable by other fellow believers. Unworthy people. But God, full of mercy and grace. Listen to a few scriptures that relate to this. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Or Deuteronomy 7, 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And finally, Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. However, not everyone will receive His mercy and grace. The Bible is very clear with this, that there's only one way to get to heaven and be with the Father, and that is through the gospel and trusting in Jesus. In the beginning, God created man and woman and blessed them with everything that they needed. But the one thing that He said was, "Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat of it, you will die." Man disobeyed God because he wanted to be more like God. And because of this disobedience, man became inherently sinful and was cast out of the presence of God. Man now needed something to bridge the gap, something to reconcile the separation from sin that had caused the separation. God gave man the law, but sinful man couldn't keep them. This was to show that there was nothing man could do to earn his salvation. The law was never meant to be a means to salvation, but to point us to the one who would be our salvation. God provided a sacrifice once and for eternity. That sacrifice was His own Son. Jesus was born a virgin, lived a perfect life without sin, died as a sacrifice for our sin, but God raised Him on the third day. And now He lives forever as a Savior of men who are willing to acknowledge their sinful way and accept Jesus as free gift of life. And if you're here tonight and you do not have that assurance of salvation, make sure that you take time to ask a Christian that's here tonight, and they'll be more than happy to share more with you. And thirdly, we Gentiles are included. That ought to bring a hallelujah to us, right? In the verse it mentions the remnant of Eden. Remember, Eden was established by Esau, the son of Isaac. And the Edomites were the people who cursed God and cursed his temple. And God said in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. There is no country or people of Eden or Edomites now. One translation of this in the Hebrew translation suggests that the word of Eden may be translated as Adam. And God has always kept a remnant who were faithful to him. Why is God rebuilding his temple? You know, in the Old Testament, God chose the nation of Israel to show his power to the world. But he had a greater plan to include all nations, tribes, and people who would believe on the name of Jesus. That includes us. And what is our assurance? How can we be sure that we are included? Because the Lord declared it. The creator and sustainer of this universe has proclaimed it. This week, be grateful to such a merciful God. Let's spend more time listening and talking with God. Let's strive to be in the world proclaiming his greatness and not of the world. And let's seek more of ourselves, more of him and less of ourselves. Let's pray.